Hello and welcome to today's VJ Hemonc podcast. We are a global open access video journal bringing you the latest in hematology and hematological oncology. In today's episode, we will be sharing key highlights in myeloproliferative neoplasms. First, you will hear from Mary Frances McMullen, who discusses promising agents emerging in myelofibrosis and further comments on the importance of managing anemia in this disease.
Anemia in myelofibrosis is a difficult issue to tackle. Patients should be investigated first, trying to find out if there are any causes for the anemia, hematinic deficiency, autoimmune disease, et cetera, because many of these can contribute. Having made sure that there's nothing else apart from the myelofibrosis that's contributing to the anemia, the issues then are how do you manage it? The first thing that you can do is give erythropoietin stimulating agents, having first measured the erythropoietin level, because we want to be sure to see that these patients have a low or normal erythropoietin level. If they have a very high erythropoietin level, then it's pointless giving them ESAs. And then they can be given ESAs to see if they respond in order to put their hemoglobin up. Dosaging is fairly standard, and they should be given a trial of that for up to 12 weeks. May work, may not work. Other things that then can be tried are things like danazol, and then there are a number of other agents, steroid, IMIDs, and some drugs that are not widely available in the UK, but that may be helpful in managing the anemia. However, you may be left with a patient with anemia, myelofibrosis, and the issue then is what do you do from the point of view of treatment? The first line agent which we widely use is ruxolitinib, which is it often makes patients drop their hemoglobin, make them more anemic. This now, the hemoglobin may stabilize, so you can try that, but it may make the anemia worse. So then the new kid on the block, so to speak, is momelotinib, which is now licensed. It has a different mechanism of action, so that it's an ACVR1 inhibitor and therefore interferes with hepcidin, and the hemoglobin may then come up. So in a patient who is anemic with myelofibrosis, momelotinib is probably now the first line choice in order to treat these patients with myelofibrosis and therefore control their spleen, their symptoms, etc., but also may improve their hemoglobin and may even make them transfusion independent. So there are a number of different agents which we've been seeing in trials for the last few years, and it's which ones are going to emerge first and which are going to be the most useful one. We have, as I've already stated, momelotinib is now licensed and available. Pacritinib is somewhere behind that, and that's very useful because it can be given to patients with low platelet counts particularly. And then we come to a number of different agents which have been used in combination with other agents, particularly things like the BET inhibitors. And really, we need to see the full data on these and see which ones get through and which ones get licensed. I don't have the answers to that. We'll need to see what comes out. I certainly know that one we heard yesterday isn't being taken any further for myelofibrosis. I'm sure some of the BET inhibitors will be. And the issue that will come out from this is how these get licensed, if they get licensed in combination with a JAK inhibitor, what way that's going to work. And of course, there's an expense issue comes into that as well. But some of them, as I say, I'm saying the BET inhibitors, but the number of different ones we've seen in the trials will get licensed. And then it'll be interesting times because we will have a wider variety of treatments for myelofibrosis. And of course, we'll start to think about what we're interested in, which is what are we actually doing for the disease? If you have a combination, can you get to a point where you're actually modifying the disease? We're running a trial in the UK, which is coming, hopefully will get finished within the next few months, of Fedora, where we're looking at a JAK inhibitor plus a long-acting acting interferon. And again, that comes into this space again, but we need to see the results of the trial to see how well that does, if you can give a combination which is of more use.
Next, Claire Harrison gives an overview of promising clinical trials emerging in the UK and further shares her thoughts on how to approach young patients with MPNs.
So MPN, as ever, is a really busy field. Currently, our key trials span across all of the different entities. Thinking about essential thrombocythemia, currently we're about to open studies with the LSD1 inhibitor, bomedemstat, both in the first line and in the second line setting. This drug has shown a high degree of efficacy in controlling blood counts, but also symptoms and really interesting molecular data. Also for ET patients are calreticulin-directed therapies. So at the present time in the UK portfolio and internationally, we have studies targeting calreticulin via vaccination, monoclonal antibody, and also bispecific antibody techniques. These are clearly very early stage trials, but they really potentially represent a step change in our possibilities for treating patients. For polycythemia vera patients in the UK at present, we have a range of studies looking at targeting a hepcidin, so hepcidin agonists that reduce the need for venesection. So with a multitude of different agents targeting this very effectively, reducing venesection requirements, reducing iron deficiency for patients and dealing with some symptoms such as fatigue, restless legs, etc., very efficiently. But what I'm really enthusiastic about is building on the data from the MAGIC PV study, where we looked at ruxolitinib in the long term and the benefits for patients in terms of reducing event-free survival, inducing molecular responses, and that controlling the blood count and inducing a molecular response separately led to event-free survival for patients. We're actually now taking ruxolitinib and looking in the front line for high-risk PV patients and comparing ruxolitinib to either interferon or hydroxycarbamide as standard of care. And that's a study that's been carried out as an academic study between the UK and France. It's known as Mithridate and as an antidote to poison. So we're really excited about that study and it will allow us to address certain key questions in the field. In myelofibrosis, the focus is really on either using calreticulin-targeted therapies, I've mentioned those already for ET, but they're also clearly coming from myelofibrosis. And maybe the toxicity will be different in that patient setting. We've got a lot to learn in the next year or so about them. And then our current other trials are looking at combination. So in the frontline combination, we have an academic study led by Mary Frances McMullen called FEDORA, looking at fedratinib plus interferon. In the second line study, an academic study called PROMISE, led by Adam Mead in Oxford, which is looking at ruxolitinib plus a BET inhibitor. And then in terms of commercial studies, we also have several studies, including one with KER-050, which is looking at anemia. Also in terms of combination, selinexor, either upfront and then adding a JAK inhibitor, depending on the platelet count, or as an upfront in the JAK-naive setting. And then finally, with CARTOS looking at navitoclax, we treat first with ruxolitinib for suboptimal responders, add navitoclax. And then across all of the MPN, UK-specific, we really want to empower our patients to put their data on their phone, in their pocket. So we're launching My MPN Voice, which is an app which allows patients to track their symptoms, their vascular risk. If they sign a data sharing agreement as a study in the UK, we'll then be collecting a massive amount of real world data, hopefully from as many patients as possible. So to clinicians listening, please think about putting your patients on this. But also we'll be, for a smaller subset of patients, linking to a wearable device and collecting more data. So these are all the studies we currently have in terms of MPN in the UK. Young patients with MPN are a special group that are really close to my heart. And we've been working hard to try to collate knowledge in this area, actually, since I became a consultant two decades ago, looking, for example, at pregnancy outcomes. And that's been really important for us to be able to give patients ideas about outcomes and think about how to manage and standardize that. But also across the European Hematology Association, MPNSWG, we've been working with lovely colleagues like Malte Sobas in Poland, Jean-Christophe Iannotto and Jean-Jacques Hélagin in France to collect data from young patients that under the age of 25 at the time of diagnosis, understand the spectrum of disease, why we treat them, how we treat them. And so we've learned a lot from that in terms of outcomes. We've learned about that our treatment approach is a little bit different. We don't have guidelines for that. We don't have much evidence base. So trying to pull that together. We've recently seen, for example, that in young patients, interferon and only interferon therapy prolongs myelofibrosis-free survival, which is 20% risk at 20 years. So if you're diagnosed when you're 23, you're still going to only be in your mid-40s by that point. So really important to see that. What we are now also trying to do is empower these patients by gathering them together in a specific international young persons group to help us to, one, that they support each other, that they tell us what their needs are and we work with them, but also to try to draw some EHA guidelines together for the management of those patients. So it's still very much a work in progress, but I'm just increasingly aware for these young people that their needs are really unmet by our current algorithms.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. We hope you enjoyed. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at VJHemonk and subscribe to VJHemonk Podcasts on Spotify, Apple, and Podbean. Until next time.